Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, before we start this session, I just want to make sure that I make a little announcement about an upcoming conference that's taking place right here in Greenville, South Carolina, on Friday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. Dr. Steve Lawson is going to be here. He's going to be speaking of what's being referred to as the Foundations Challenge. There's a website set up for that, and the website is thefoundationschallenge.com. This is a free event that's being hosted right here in the upstate of South Carolina, right here in Greenville. It says this on the website: the Foundations Challenge is our attempt to encourage and inspire God's people to return to extraordinary prayer and spirit-filled preaching as the foundation of ministry and the only real and lasting hope for our generation. That's taken, they quote there then from Acts chapter 6 and in verse 4. It says, one evening, two sessions, prayer and the word. It says, comprised of two sessions and a single evening meeting, Dr. Steve Lawson will deliver the first address on the primacy of the passionate, Christ-exalting, word-centered preaching ministry that reaches the hearts of men. And the second address will focus on the need for extraordinary, united, spirit-filled, believing prayer for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. So two different parts to the event there. But again, Friday, April 22nd, right here in Greenville, South Carolina, Dr. Steve Lawson will be the main speaker at the event. And you can go ahead out to the website, www.thefoundationchallenge.com. You can also go out to sermonaudio.com. That's www.sermonaudio.com. And out there you'll see an ad for this event as well. Now, let's to our topic here for the broadcast, this portion of the broadcast today. Have you been following this situation about the little girl, Lexi, in there in California? This was on ABC News on their website. It says this: Native American girl, six years old, removed from California foster home. This came out on March 21st, so just 2 days ago. And the article says this: a six-year-old girl who spent most of her life with a California foster parents was removed from her home on Monday under a court order that concluded her Native American blood requires her placement with relatives in Utah. Lexi, who is part, is it Choctaw? Is that how you say it? Choctaw Indian, who is part Choctaw, cried and clutched a stuffed bear as Rusty Page carried her out of his home north of Los Angeles to a waiting car. Los Angeles County social workers whisked her away. Quote, how is it that a screaming child saying, I want to stay, I'm scared, how is it that her best interest to pull her from her, pull the girl from her, how is it in her best interest to pull her from the girl she was before that doorbell rang? That's what he told a radio interviewer. His wife, Summer Page, screamed, Lexi, I love you, as the crowd of friends and neighbors cried, prayed, and sang hymns. The Pages have fought efforts under the Federal Indian Child Welfare Act to place Lexi with relatives of her father, who is a Native American. The Pages argued that Lexi had lived with them since the age of two and knew no other life. However, the court found that the Page family, quote, had not proven by clear and convincing evidence that it was a certainty the child would suffer emotional harm by the transfer, unquote. The Pages have three children and wanted to adopt Lexi. The family is appealing and will go all the way to the California Supreme Court if necessary, said their attorney. Lexi was 17 months old when she was removed from her birth parents' custody. Her mother had substance abuse problems, and her father had an extensive criminal history, according to court records cited by the Los Angeles Daily News. She will live in Utah with a Utah couple who are not Native Americans, but are related by marriage to her father. The girl's sister is living with the couple, and another sister will be living down the street, and so forth. The article goes on. Now, what makes this article interesting, too, and pertinent to our conversation today is that the family, the Page family, they are graduates of the Master's College, and they also attend the Grace Community Church, which is pastored by Dr. John MacArthur. And so as we continue in our broadcast here today, we do the Master's Minutes. And joining us now is Dr. John Street. Dr. John Street is the chairperson of Masters of Art in Biblical Counseling, professor of Biblical Counseling for the Master's College and Seminary. Dr. Street, it's a pleasure to have you join us on the program today.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here, although the topic is a very grievesome one.
Yes, I was going to say that obviously there's many parts to this. I read from the ABC story about this. There's a GoFundMe page out there as well, a special Facebook page. It's literally been all over the news. So I know there's many, many portions to this, parts of this case, and we may not be able to get into all of those, but just give us a little bit. I gave a little bit of the background here. Do you know this this couple personally? Because you're also on staff there, I think, at not only the college and seminary, but also at Grace Community Church where they attend. So tell us your background here with this family, and then let's talk about, you know, how biblically should somebody look at a situation like this, and we'll get to that point in just a second.
Yeah, I do know the family. Just through meeting them at church, they're actually in a different fellowship group there at Grace Community Church, and then I serve as one of the elders in the church as well, so they very much are a part of our church. And this has just been a very difficult and traumatic time for the family, and especially, I believe, very, very traumatic time for Lexi, because it is indeed true, the only family she has really known and the only people that she really identifies as her parents are Rusty and Summer. And so to have, in a sense, the Indian child welfare law, and any one of your audience can look this up on the internet, it's easily attainable, was never intended when it was passed in law back in the late 1970s, never intended to be used by something like this, but actually this was a legal move to pull out an obscure law. And Lexi herself is only 1.5% Choctaw. The family she would be going to, none of them have any Indian blood in them. And actually her foster mother, Summer, has a considerable amount of Indian blood in her. It's just that she's not registered to a tribe here in the United States. And so as a result of that, on a legal standpoint, she's not recognized legally as Indian, even though she has more Indian blood in her than any of the people that Lexi would be taken and put into their home. So this is really a move by the state of California. It's a move by LA County to, in a sense, well, from one perspective, you could say they've basically used the law to abduct Lexi from her mom and dad, and to move her to Utah to live with non-blood relative family members who aren't even members of the tribe themselves. So it's bizarre. I mean, a lot of people are really scratching their heads and saying, how could the law be used like this? And I think this also strikes right at the heart of every Christian family in America, because we realize how intrusive the government is becoming more and more into the homes of families. And especially we can see more and more cases coming about where this is happening with Christian families. Now, we would acknowledge this is a unique situation because this is a foster care situation.
Right.
But we also know of other situations where the government has stepped in and removed children and use some kind of law to do so because they believe that they're doing something that's in best interest of that child. And so I think that every parent, every Christian parent in America, this catches their notice, this draws their attention, and if this can happen to a wonderful, very godly family, Rusty and Summer, then this can happen to a lot of people, especially if you've adopted a child or you're fostering children. If they take the law and want to use the law in order to remove those children out of your home, they can do that. So this is really disturbing on a number of different levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems an egregious use of the law here in order to bring about the ends that they wanted and overlooking what clearly seemed to be in the best interest of the child, and for them to deny any sort of traumatic effect upon the child when at this age she's being taken away, whisked away out of state and so forth to somebody. I guess they have had some conversations and some interactions with the other family, but to be put, you know, taken from one family, the only family that she's ever really known, and taken out of state then to another family, obviously has got to have some sort of traumatic effect. The legal case here, you know, it seems that they've obviously got legal grounds here to proceed further, and I think anybody looking at this objectively, you know, can see that. But from a biblical case, especially in your position with I only mentioned one role that you play in the biblical counseling arena. You're involved in much broader aspect of biblical counseling across the country and beyond in Australia and so forth. But how would you then go about counseling a family that finds themselves in a situation like this, you know, where a child is taken away and the all of the traumatic experience that the parents are going through? How would you speak to a family going through, so that we can broaden this out to those that are in our listening audience that may not have this exact experience happen, but nevertheless have still gone through traumatic experiences related to their children?
Yeah, and it, like you say, this is incredibly disruptive and very disturbing. The neurobiological effects associated with disruptive attachment is huge. That has been demonstrated over and over again, just from a scientific point of view. And from Lexi's point of view, the loss of a parent is arguably one of the most disturbing and distressing experiences that a child can really undergo. Losing a parent through state intervention can be especially harmful because it sort of creates a divorce scenario in which children are removed from their family, they're removed from their friends, they're removed from their environments with no sense of closure. In fact, what is not mentioned in a lot of the reports is that the Page family were ordered by the law not to discuss this with Lexi until the time that they, the LA County Department came to pick them up. Only then did they have 10 minutes to describe to Lexi what was going to happen to her. But they were under law, a ruling by the court not to discuss these things. So this made the suddenness of this kind of thing even more traumatic. But your question is, how do you counsel someone like this? And as hard as this is on Christian families, as difficult as it is, I think we've got to be reminded of truths like Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And when Solomon writes those words, he's not saying that the Christian is immune from having disasters or difficulties. He's saying that when they do come in life, as they invariably will, they don't have to be afraid of them because the Lord is going to be their confidence, and he is the one who will keep their foot from being caught. Later on in verse 34 of the same chapter, there in Proverbs, Proverbs 3, Proverbs 3:34, it says, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. That's really important. There is an outpouring of grace upon Rusty and Summer and their remaining children at this particular time. They are grieved. It's like a death has taken place. They're still going to fight and attempt to try to get Lexi back through the legal system. And even though it is an uphill climb, they're still going to try to do that. And there is a chance, and the Lord can work here in order for that to happen. But they can't place their hope on the fact that Lexi's going to return. They've got to place their hope in the fact that there is a God there who knows what he's doing, and they have to be confident in that. They're going through personal crisis, and this is what Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 24 talks about as well. When it talks about what the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. I think that there is some hope in that. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous have an everlasting foundation. And again, the promise is not that we as Christians are going to be exempt from those storms in life, but the promise is that we don't have to be shaken by them to the core, because we know that behind this is a sovereign God who is good.
Amen.
Even though what has happened to them as a family is evil, and to Lexi is evil, because God would never want this to happen. In Psalms 72 and verse 4, it says, may he, speaking of the Lord, defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. And so we're asking God to rise up and to do this. This is part of evil men seeking to their own selfish ends. And we're asking that God protect Lexi in the meantime. I don't believe that the people that took Lexi away necessarily intended to do direct harm to her. I don't think that that was their intentions at all.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, what they have done has harmed her.
Mm-hmm.
And it has caused a major disrupted attachment in her thinking. And there, that this irreparable sense of loss,
yes,
really can stunt a child's development and lead later on to behavioral problems.
Mm-hmm.
Studies in foster care systems reinforce that all the time.
Mm-hmm. In counseling with people myself, I have noted over the years that if a divorce happened, the family, the parents even, may have thought that the children adjusted just fine and there was not very many ramifications to the divorce or and so forth. But in speaking to the counselee later on, I've been surprised to find out how they mentioned then how the divorce affected them, even though it wasn't apparent to people, deep-seated sense of rejection that they had and not feeling loved and so forth. And that was in a divorce, as you pointed out here, in this situation, where somebody is, you know, almost abducting the child with 10 minutes notice or preparation, yes, for the child. It must be, you know, much higher level of traumatic experience going on. I would think that part of the counsel that would take place is they're legally, and in the case before the courts, they're appealing to the Supreme Court to make this right. And in a similar way, then, for the Christian, they're appealing to a court even above that one, the real Supreme Court. They're to rest in the judgment of God himself and trust in the fact that although earthly courts get things wrong, and, you know, people do bad things and wicked things here upon the earth, yet the God of all the earth will do right, that he will justify this situation, that he will, you know, he will, at one point in time at least, that he will make this right. Is that the way that you would go about counseling them to look to the Lord in a situation like this?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a truth that Peter talks about in 1 Peter 5:5. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to those who are humble. This is an outpouring of God's grace upon their life during this time until they're able to come to a resolution of this. And we need to really encourage Christians around the world to pray for the family, for the Page family, for Lexi during this particular time, and pray about the outcome of further court procedures that will be going on in order to try to legally obtain custody of Lexi again and bring her back to her home. And there is a sense in which the Bible teaches that children also are incredibly resilient. If there's any possibility that God will work in this to bring Lexi back home, it will be, I don't believe that this will be a far distant memory as time goes on for Lexi, if that's what God ends up doing. Mm-hmm. However, if she continues in this particular situation, estranged from her family, the longer that goes on, the more difficult it's going to be on Lexi to be able to recover from this. It will influence her, there's no doubt, right into her adulthood.
Now, to the Page family, then, obviously this is going to be a long haul legally as they go through the courts and so forth. This is a defining moment for them in their family. How do they go on and not, they have other children, you know, regular responsibilities that they need to go through. How do you counsel them to go on with life while at the same time going through these legal challenges?
Well, obviously, you would say to them that you don't lessen your love for your children, not one bit. They need to love their children as passionately as any loving parent needs to do, especially the children that are still there in their home. But those children also need to see that their love for God is even greater than that, and that they trust what God is doing, even though this is very difficult and it's full of trauma right now.
Mm-hmm.
They trust God, and they trust his purposes in this. Removal from a home and replacement in a home can lead to all kinds of instability in the child. I think as Christians, Rusty and Summer are going to have to dig down deep in terms of their faith and trust in a sovereign God. At the same time, this is where outpourings of prayer for Lexi, who herself has known about 4 years of a Christian home. She knows about Christ. She understands in the most rudimentary way what the gospel means, that will be a source of encouragement in her childlike heart as well. And we need to pray in that direction in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what the outcome is going to be, but we can trust God and have confidence in him, and therefore we do not succumb to fear or to panic or to anxiety. We don't succumb to those kind of things because, like you said, there is a higher Supreme Court there, and he is the almighty, omniscient, omnipotent God who is in control of these things,
mm-hmm.
and he can bring it about for greater good in the long run. And we're hoping that that's what's going to happen in Lexi's life as well as Rusty and Summer and the rest of the family.
Amen. Well, Dr. Street, we will certainly be praying to that end. And even just to add one other note there as well, be praying that in the family, the church family life there at Grace Community Church, of which you're an elder, I pray that a situation like this, where people watch how a family handles this, for them to handle this in a biblical way, just speaks volumes to other people, where they then are able to say, well, they handled this situation in a biblical way. I have things going on in my life, maybe not to this extent, but if they could do it and the Lord was faithful with them, then I can do this in my life. And I pray that it'll have that type of effect in the Grace Community family there as well. But thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your ministry there in counseling and the training of young men and women to be counselors and so forth. And thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy schedule to join us.
You're very welcome. Let me leave you with one verse in 1 Peter 5:10. We need to remember this. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This is what Rusty and Summer needs. It's what Lexi needs. It's what the rest of their children need. And I hope that Christians will pray in that direction.
Amen. Thank you so much for that word. We appreciate it. It was Dr. John Street, and we were talking about the situation with Lexi. You can read that, obviously, in the news. I was quoting from ABC News on that article. If you can hear a little bit of how biblical counseling works. If you want to find out more about John and about the ministry there at the Master's College, go out to their webpage at www.masters.edu. Find out how you can get trained in biblical counseling as well. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.